Finally, we're now in the section of how to prepare for attacks on the family. It's now time to train ourselves for battle. First thing we can do, teach a biblical perspective on marriage. Too few of our churches today give energy and time to teaching a biblical view of marriage, grounding children and teens in these truths, and holding members accountable to biblical standards. When they do, it's mostly reactionary and condemning, and it gives little proper attention to proper Christian living. We, the church, must teach the biblical perspective on marriage regularly and proactively. This means from the pulpit, from Sunday school classes, from our fellowship together, living lives as friends when we're outside of this building, having small groups, having accountability partners, and all of us being on the same page to teach a biblical perspective on marriage, to encourage each other in our marriages, to call out sins in our marriages with love for the purpose of reconciliation. Next, develop a family prayer strategy. I've said a couple times since I've been here that my family's prayer strategy when I was growing up, and this is I'm not faulting anybody, I'm just saying how it is. We would get around a table for dinner every night, which is a great thing. Every family should do that if they can. But our prayer life consisted of, God is great, God is good, we thank you for this food, amen. And we did talk about our life after that, you know, check in on each other and how our days are going and stuff. But we need to develop a solid family prayer strategy. Since families are a primary site of satanic attack, we ought to pray for them proactively and not reactively. We all need to be praying for each other's families. Don't wait until there is something that pops up and then pray for that thing. Let's guard our families instead of catching up to what Satan is doing to them. Focus on praying for specific families each week. Cover every family once per year. Include inactive families too, because they won't be returning apart from prayer. After reading the material for this class, I asked Grace if she can help me make a big roster of all the families so we can give it to everybody. And in addition to our prayer list, we can assign a family per week for each of us to pray for. And I'm sorry, I haven't yet put that together, but if anybody be willing to, just make a list of each family with the family members in them and hand them out to people, I think we're roughly around the membership size to have a family per week of the year, or we can do two families per week. I think that'd be a great way for us as a church to enter in a spiritual battle together. Next, how to prepare for attacks on the family. Fill the gap in marital counseling and prayer. Pastors and churches should provide premarital counseling to church members, and pastors should require couples to go through premarital counseling before they marry anybody. Pastors and churches should provide ongoing intentional equipping for newly married couples. When you're a newlywed, this is the season where the enemy hits the hardest. And I've yet to marry anybody, but in case anybody here is interested in being married, I will require that premarital counseling with me and maybe some of our deacons or some other mature couples in the congregation. Because if a pastor is to marry somebody, they aren't responsible for how the marriage goes, but they are at least responsible as a shepherd and kind of signing off on that marriage. Because as a pastor, if I marry somebody in public in front of a whole congregation, I'm giving my blessing to it. So pastors, churches, we should really cultivate a culture where we're filling the gap in marital counseling and prayer. Next, how to prepare for attacks on the family is create opportunities for veteran couples to spend time with young couples. Focus on the Family published an article by Les and Leslie Parrott where they identified the practice of marriage mentoring and defined it as a relatively happy, more experienced couple purposefully investing in another couple to effectively navigate a journey that they have already taken. And they provide a list of responsibilities of a marriage mentor couple, and this is that list. Willingly share what you know in a non-competitive way. Represent skill, knowledge, virtue, and accomplishment because you have gone before the couple you are mentoring. Take a personal and heartfelt interest in the other couple's development and well-being. Offer support, challenge, patience, and enthusiasm while guiding other couples to new levels of competence. Point the way and represent tangible evidence of what another couple can become. Expose the recipients of your mentoring to new ideas, perspectives, and standards, and have more expertise in terms of knowledge, yet view yourself as equal to those you mentor. And there are some in here that have taken an interest in Grace and I. We're a relatively young couple, and I really thank you for that. And I'm about to say the word but, and I don't mean this negatively, but we should cultivate a stronger culture of creating opportunities for veteran couples to spend time with young couples and becoming their mentors. Next, how to prepare the family for spiritual warfare is teach believers to forgive. Married couples are called by God to give themselves to each other for life. There is no lasting relationship without forgiveness. Forgiveness is the glue that overcomes the unavoidable offenses that occur in a fallen world. Satan wants us to remain bitter toward one another because it distorts the gospel, our relationship with God, and our prayers. Regardless of whether the offender is repentant, believers are obligated to attitudinal forgiveness. That means releasing the offender from our judgment and trusting him, ourselves, and the situation into God's hands, emptying our hearts of bitterness, and being ready in cases of major offenses to grant what they call level 2 transacted forgiveness and to reconcile the relationship if the offender repents and seeks reconciliation. In the book Pursuing Peace, A Christian Guide to Handling Our Conflicts, Robert Jones defines this level 2 transacted forgiveness as granting relational forgiveness that seeks reconciliation with the offender. He argues that the rule of thumb, default response for Christians, should be to overlook offenses. But he also concludes that some sins require confronting. Scripture provides lists of sins that are especially heinous and warrant rebuke. And you can find these in Romans 1, 29-31, 1 Corinthians 5, 11, 1 Corinthians 6, 9-10, Galatians 5, 19-21, and the list goes on. Sins that mark the ungodly or unsaved are the type of sin we're talking about. These sins invite God's wrath and must no longer mark God's new people. Various forms of sexual immorality, greed, idolatry, slander, drunkenness, and rage. These are the types of sins that ought to be, as commanded by Scripture, confronted. Forgiveness breaks the enemy's stranglehold of bitterness and frees the believer to love again. And finally, this is a little addition of my own to this class. Don't allow Satan to bully you into not proclaiming the truth about marriage and family because of your past failings. I know our culture, our churches, because our churches are filled with people that live in our culture, have very broken experiences of marriage. Sometimes they're at fault, sometimes they're not. Sometimes they were sinned against by a spouse, but then they in turn sinned themselves or, you know, didn't forgive. But I want to make this clear. If you have failed marriage experiences in your past, do not let those sins that have been forgiven by God, if you've repented of them and live your life now in obedience to Christ, don't let those sins rule your life. Don't let sins that Christ has paid for stop you from saving somebody else's marriage, stop you from saving your own marriage. Don't let the guilt that the enemy uses. The enemy is an accuser. That's what he does. He constantly tempts and then accuses us before God for the sins that we do. But if you are a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, you are literally a new creation. So step into your new creation, live faithfully, and don't allow the guilt from your past to hinder your biblically based, Christ-centered marriage advice in the future.